me to the book of Acts again today. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, it says, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." Praise God. This is a prayer that I pray for our church and for the churches in the area and really for our nation, the churches across our nation as well. I pray that we'll have peace and that we'll be edified. Edified means built up spiritually. And then, ladies, I'm going to... Okay, thank you. I want to ask everybody, everybody focus on the word right now. Praise God. Thank you. And then the next two statements tell us that the churches and the believers that made up the churches, they were walking in two very important revelations. And to walk in something means that has become a lifestyle, right? Yeah. Amen? It's something that we're doing on a daily basis. It's something we're doing on a regular basis, on a consistent basis. And here in this verse, it says that the churches were walking, number one, in the fear of the Lord, and number two, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And as a result of this, the Bible says they were multiplied. They were multiplied. So I believe this is a great pattern for us today to follow and to walk in for the church, not only for our church, but that's where we have the control. That's where we have authority is right here. Amen. You may not be able to control somebody else, but you can control you, right? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so right here, why don't we purpose as a church family, why don't we purpose that we're going to walk in the fear of the Lord, that it's going to become something that we do as a lifestyle, that we do on a consistent, regular basis. And we talked about that last week. Say, what does that mean, walk in the fear of the Lord? Well, if you're wondering about that, then get the message from last week. Get the CD, access it through some of our online media, and listen to that, what it means to walk in the fear of the Lord. And then the second one is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Let's purpose that we're going to be a body of believers that does that, that we walk in the fear of the Lord and we walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to talk about today, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And the again, in the scripture, this word comfort that we just read in Acts 9 here, it says they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That word in the Greek is the word paraklesis, not parakeet, but paraklesis, okay? The Holy Spirit is called, there's a similar word called paraklete in the Greek. The Holy Spirit is referred to. Jesus said, I'm going to pray the Father and He'll give you another comforter. That's paraklete. Again, not parakeet, but paraklete, okay? All right. But this word paraklesis, this word comfort, it appears 29 times in the New Testament. And 14 times it's translated consolation. 8 times it's translated exhortation. 6 times it's translated comfort. And now this is in the King James that I'm telling you about. And 1 time it's translated entreaty. So that's how it's used, the 29 times. And it literally means a calling to one side. A calling to one side. Like the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it literally means a calling. A paraklesis literally means a calling to one side. In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to come to our side. Amen. Amen. Now, and again, in terms of and in the idea of bringing comfort. And so just think about that in the natural. Think about when someone is in deep grief or sorrow, perhaps they've lost a loved one. What do? We want to go be with them, right? We want to go be with. That's why we, you know, that's why funeral home, that's why they say we're having visitation. That's what the purpose of that. And I've experienced that on that side of it where I've lost a loved one and been at the funeral home and people start coming in and you probably have too. Just the comfort, you know, the they don't have to say anything, but just seeing them, just saying, "Oh, you're here, you came, you care." Amen. And that's what we want to do. We go to be with someone in their time of grief, in their time of sorrow, and to be at their side, just to be with them. Whether we say anything or not, you know, sometimes people say, well, I don't know if I want to go. I won't know what to say. It doesn't matter. Just your presence. Just knowing that, hey, this is my friend and I care about you. I'm sorry about your loss. I want to let you know that I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. And I want to show up in person. Amen. Come to our side. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes to our side. Amen. He comes to our side. Amen. Amen. Let's look at another verse in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16. It says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting, what's the next word? Consolation. It's the same Greek word, paraklesis. It's translated comfort at times, translated comfort in Acts 9, but it's translated consolation here. He's given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. And then the next verse says, comfort your hearts. That's that word paraklesis again. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, one of my study sources that I use is the Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. It's been out for a long time. W.E. Vine, he was a Greek scholar, compiled this. And he has a comment about this. As I looked up this word, paraklesis, the word comfort or consolation, the Greek word paraklesis, he said in the above verse, the verse we just read, 16 and 17, these two verses, in the above verses, it combines encouragement with alleviation of grief. So the comfort of the Holy Spirit is alleviation of grief in our lives, but it's also encouragement. And again, these believers in Judea and Galilee and Samaria, they were walking in the fear of the Lord and they were walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were continually, daily, on a regular basis, allowing the Holy Spirit to encourage them, allowing the Holy Spirit to comfort them, allowing the Holy Spirit to alleviate their grief. Amen. And this consolation, let's go back to verse 16 for a moment, Trinity, if you would. Back in verse 16, again, he tells us he's given us everlasting consolation. Everlasting. So this comfort, this consolation that he gives us, it's everlasting. Amen. Hallelujah. It's never going to leave. Amen. This word also carries the meaning of hope with it, which is very important. We see that in, we're not going to go to the scripture, but I'll remind you of it, in Luke chapter 2 with the story of Simeon. Remember about how Simeon was looking for the Messiah to come? And the Bible says he was looking for the consolation of Israel. That word consolation, paraklesis. What he was talking about, he was looking for the Messiah. He was looking for the hope, or he had hope, because he was looking for the Messiah to come. He had an expectation. Hey, the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer is going to come. Amen? Well, we're looking, we have that same hope now for the second coming. The Bible says in Titus, we're looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That comes from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I remember after I got, you know, I guess I knew or heard about the return of the Lord. I don't know, growing up. But I know after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, I mean, I started, became aware of Jesus is coming back again. That was the Holy Spirit that was putting that into me, that was giving me that hope. Hallelujah. Praise God. And let's go to John. Let's go to John 14 and verse 16. And this is in the King James Version. This is what Jesus said. Now, Jesus is preparing his disciples. This is around the time of the Last Supper, right before he goes to the cross, he's preparing his disciples. And he says this, he says, I will pray the Father and he will give you, what's the next word? Another, but then comforter, but another comforter, another comforter. So in other words, Jesus had been alongside them. What is this word? It literally means someone called alongside. Amen. Called to one side. And so he had been that. He had been that comforter for them. Amen. But he said, I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you another comforter. Amen. That he may abide with you forever. Amen. Amen. And then he tells who he is. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In you. Glory to God. And then he says in verse 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you without hope. I'm not going to leave you without consolation. I'm not going to leave you without encouragement. Hallelujah. I will not leave you comfortless. Now, it's interesting. This word, comfortless, doesn't come from the same family of words as paraclesis or paraclete, that the Holy Spirit, the comforter, when he says in verse 16, I'll give you another comforter, that's paraclete, you know, close to the word paraclesis, which is comfort. But this is a different word. This word comfortless in the Greek is the word orphanos. Orphanos. Does that sound familiar? That's where we get the word orphan from. He said, and in fact, a lot of translations translate it that way. I'm not going to leave you. The New King James says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, I believe. Well, it's the Greek word orphanos. And he said, I'll not leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you as one who is left alone in the world. That's what an orphan is. An orphan, their father has died, their mother has died, and they're left alone in the world. He said, I'm not going to leave you that way. I'm not going to leave you that way. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. We're not orphans. Amen. That's not us. We're not left comfortless. We're not orphans. Hallelujah. We have a comforter. We have a helper. That's why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 that God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Holy Spirit. And we cry out, what? Abba, Father. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit causes us to cry out, Abba, Father. Amen? Praise God. So this comforter, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said He's going to abide with us forever. And He also points this out about Him back in verse 17. He says He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. You know, we probably have all maybe tried to do this with someone, or maybe someone has done this for us to comfort us, but they're really giving us false promises. You're really not that ugly. Well, for some of us, that may be a false promise. Maybe that's a bad example, but anyway. But God comforts us with the truth. Amen? Amen. You didn't really mess that up that bad the other day. Well, yeah, they really did. But you know. But no, there can be no genuine or lasting comfort or consolation or encouragement that's void of the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of... He speaks to us the truth, but He can also comfort us, encourage us, strengthen us, give us hope with that truth. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you... Look back to verse 18 again. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Look at that last statement He makes. I will come to you. He's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go back in his bodily form, in his physical form. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be raised from the dead. He's going to appear among them in and out for 40 days. Then He ascends back into heaven, right? And as He ascends into heaven, the disciples are watching Him there. And an angel comes and says, this same Jesus that you're seeing go into heaven, He's going to come again. You know, He will come back again. But in the interim, in the meantime, he said, I'm going to come back to you, not talking about it in the last days, but he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, when I pour out the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit comes, he said, he's going to reveal me. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said. So Jesus comes to us again in the presence and in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. He comes alongside us to help us. Amen. Praise God. Well, now, we know, if we're honest, that life is hard, right? Amen. Will anybody agree with that? There's grief. We all face grief. We all face frustration, right? Disappointment, right? You know, we all go through that. We all face it. That's a part of life. We face these things. We face grief. We face frustration. We face disappointment. But we've got a comforter living on the inside of us. In the midst of grief, in the midst of frustration, in the midst of disappointment, we don't have to live full of grief. We don't have to live full of frustration. We don't have to live lives of disappointment. Even though we face moments of disappointment, we don't have to live lives of disappointment because we have a comforter living on the inside of us. And those believers in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria were walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Did they have problems? Sure they did. Were they facing persecution? Sure they were. Were they facing opposition? Yes, they were. But in the midst of it, they had learned to tap into that comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you and I today can tap into that comforter. We can walk in. We can walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 1 is a good passage that Paul wrote about this topic of comfort. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Hallelujah. That's who he is. He's the God of all comfort. Aren't you glad to know that he's the God of all comfort? The Message Bible is wonderful there. It says he's the God of healing counsel. All comfort in the Message, it's translated healing counsel. Healing counsel. I love that. The Holy Spirit gives us healing counsel. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. The God of all comfort who comforts us in all our tribulation. The word tribulation means trouble. He comforts us in all our trouble. Yeah, we go through trouble, but we have the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to give us hope, to say, you're going to make it through this. You're going to overcome. I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to give you victory. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. That's his job. That's what he does. If we'll listen to him, if we'll yield to him, if we'll open our hearts to him, we'll hear him saying that to us. And we can have that. We can have that. Amen? Glory to God. All right. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. And now look at this, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. How many of you know the Holy Spirit works through people? Right? Doesn't he? Amen. So the Holy Spirit as the comforter, not only does he come to us and give us comfort, but then once we're comforted, then we can go and be a vessel and a channel that the Holy Spirit can use to bring that comfort to somebody else. Oh yeah, I understand what you're going through. That happened to me 3 years ago, and let me tell you what the Lord did for me. Let me tell you how he comforted me. I know that's tough. I know it's difficult. I've been there. I've been through that. But here's how God brought me through. And he's no respecter of persons. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. Let me give you the scriptures that he gave me that helped me. That's how we can comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Amen? Praise God. All right. Amen. Let's go to John 14. Oh, I forgot to read verse. Well, we'll go on. John 14, verse 16. And let's read it. We read this in the King James. Let's read it in the Amplified Bible now. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Now, the Amplified Bible, what the Amplified Bible does is, you know, when other translations, the Greek language is very rich and has multiple shades of meaning for words, more so than English. We've got one word that means this. Well, it can mean that, but it's more narrow. The Greek is a richer language. And so what the Amplified Bible tries to do is to say, what other translations have done, when the translators have gotten to a Greek word, and they say, okay, do we use the word comforter? Do we use the word helper? Or do we use the word counselor? And they choose one. But the Amplified says, let's just use them all. Let's just get the full meaning. And so that's the beauty of this verse, especially in the Amplified Bible, because it gives us the full meaning of what this word paraklesis and this parakletos, the Holy Spirit, what it really fully means to us and for us. Amen. So look, let's look at it. I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. Glory to God. Seven aspects of what he is as a comforter. He's also a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby, that he may remain with you forever. Hallelujah. So as we close, and Mike, if you're whoever's coming up, you coming up, Mike? All right. Come on up. So we'll wrap it up with this. Number one, he's a comforter. That's what we've been talking about. He comforts us. He encourages us when we're in despair and when we're in grief. And, you know, even when we've sinned, you know, the Holy Spirit, y'all looking at me like, well, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. That's never happened to me. Even when we've sinned. Has anybody ever sinned before? And we don't plan on doing it in the future, but I promise you it's likely to happen. All right? Because you're still in the body, okay? Even when we've sinned, the Holy Spirit is still our comforter. He convicts us, but you know, he never condemns us. He never condemns us. You know what he does? He gives us hope. Oh, thank God. I know he has for me. Even when I've sinned, even when I've missed it, he comes to me with the word. And he gives me a word of hope. And he shows me, and he shows us a way back. A way back. Hey, you can get back. You can get back into fellowship with the Father. You can get back. You don't have to stay separated by your sin. You don't have to stay in this place of condemnation and shame. You can get back. Oh, thank God, he's our comforter. He helps us get back. Amen. Amen. He comforts us. He encourages us when we're in despair and when we're in grief. Amen. And then number two, he's a counselor. He's a counselor. Now, I believe in good counselors. I believe in counseling. I've been to counseling. But the best counselor, and often most overlooked, counsel that we can receive is from the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And you know what he does? At least that's been my experience. The Holy Spirit guides me to the Word. He will never lead you apart from the Word. And again, it's been my experience that he guides me to Scriptures. When I'm in a situation where I don't know what to do or I need direction, the Holy Spirit will guide me to Scripture. Remember my word. Remember what the word says. I remember, you know, several years ago, he kept reminding me of Zechariah chapter 3. For two or three days, he reminded me of it before I actually slowed down enough to say, you know, I probably ought to read that. Oh, my goodness, it changed my life. It brought counsel to me that I needed and direction to me that I needed. Praise God. Amen. He can speak to you about your situation. And he can give you the perfect solution. The perfect. Believe that about him. Those believers, they learned to walk in that. Those believers said that it says they were walking in the fear of the Lord, and they were walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I almost said counsel the Holy Spirit. Well, I would have been accurate, because that's what he does too. Amen. Let's walk in that. Let's walk in the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Let's depend on him. Dad Hagin used to say it like this. He said, I put out my spiritual antenna. Beep, 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 beep. You know, okay, what is he doing? He said, he's opening his heart. He's opening his heart and he's listening and he's saying, Holy Spirit, are you speaking to me? Is there anything that I'm missing here that you want to show me and that you want to guide me into? Let's do that before we just rush off and make a decision, or before we panic and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, let's put up our spiritual antenna and let's listen for the counsel of the Holy Spirit. He's our counselor. Hallelujah. And then number three, he's our helper. He's our helper. Hallelujah. Say, I have a helper. Amen. Praise God. How many of you know helpers are important? Amen. He won't do it for us. And if you, let me say this. Good helpers are important. If you had good help and bad help on jobs you were doing, you know, good help is invaluable, isn't it? It's invaluable. You can't do the job without it. A lot of jobs, you can't do it by yourself. You got to have help. Amen. Well, the Holy Spirit is our helper, and he's a perfect helper. Amen. He won't do it for us, but he will and he does help us. You can't just sit back and lay down and say, okay, Holy Spirit, go and do this. No, he's going to help you. He's going to help you. Amen. One thing he helps us to do is pray. We've talked about that a lot, but let's look at that scripture again. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also does what? Helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Well, when we don't know what to pray for as we ought, that's a weakness, isn't it? That's a weakness. That's an inability to produce results. But thank God we're not limited. We're not left there. We're not stranded there. We've got a helper, one called alongside. Hallelujah. Amen. And the word help here, when it says he helps us, it literally means this. It means to take hold together with against. Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He takes hold together with us against our weaknesses. He takes hold together with us against the enemy. He takes hold together with us against the devil. Why? Because he's called alongside. He's saying, hey, I'm here. I'm here. Will you invite me? Will you let me help you? Amen. You ever been on that side of it? You've tried to help someone. You're there beside them and you want it. No, I can do it. Well, I'm here. I would like to. Let's not leave the Holy Spirit in that position. Well, I would like to help you. And he's a gentleman. He's not going to come in as I hear. He has to be invited in. We have to yield to him, right? Let's let him help us. Let's let him help us. Amen. Let's let him help us to pray. Let's let him help us in every area of our life. Amen. And then number four, he's an intercessor. Let's go back to John 14. Great. Okay. Thanks, Trinity. He's our intercessor. Amen. Now, we usually think of intercession in regard to prayer, and that's certainly true. But an intercessor is one who takes the place of another. Or one, literally one who stands between God. And when I say God, I'm referring to God as judge, because that is who he is. He is, yes, he's our Father, but he is also judge. And in this aspect of our relationship with God as judge, an intercessor is one who stands between the judge and man. And the Holy Spirit is our intercessor. The literal definition, dictionary definition of an intercessor is this: one who intercedes or makes intercession, especially with the stronger for the weaker. Well, the stronger, of course, obviously, is God. The weaker is us. Amen. And the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the weaker with the stronger. And again, in regard to God as judge, with the stronger for the weaker, for us. Oh, thank God. We've got an intercessor. We've got an intercessor, the Holy Spirit. A person who pleads with one in behalf of another, or endeavors to reconcile parties at variance. A mediator. That's why when you've sinned, it's the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's Jesus and it's the blood of Jesus, but it's also the Holy Spirit working to restore you back into fellowship with God. Thank God. Amen. And then number five, which is closely related. In fact, we should talk about them together, really. Number five, he is what? An advocate. After intercessor, it says he's an advocate. He's an advocate. An advocate is a legal counselor. You look up the word advocate, you'll find it means a legal, you know, a legal counselor, like an attorney, an advocate. And so much of our relationship with God is based on legal grounds. The Bible is a legal book. And our relationship with God is based on legal grounds. Now, I don't mean that. Sometimes when we think of our relationship with God on legal grounds, it seems like it's cold and it's formal. And I don't mean it in that regard. Yes, when we relate to God as our Father, that relationship is warm and it's welcoming and it's comforting and it's loving. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us and who cares for us. And we need to see God that way. But he's also the judge of all the earth. He's also the judge of the universe, and his word is set up on legal basis. Again, because of the fact that God's perfectly just, he has to deal with us on that manner, in a just manner. And also because we have an adversary, the devil. And he's working this on legal grounds too. He's trying to find any legal loophole to get a judgment against you and me. And so in that aspect, in the fact that scripture that I referred to before that the Holy Spirit led me to a few years ago, Zechariah chapter 3, it's a glimpse into the courtroom of heaven. Because Zechariah the prophet saw Joshua the priest standing there before the Lord, and he saw Satan at his right hand to accuse him, to bring accusations against him. And he saw Joshua, it said he was clothed in filthy garments, and a voice spoke, the Lord spoke, and he said, "I reject your accusations, Satan." Hallelujah. That was God the judge speaking, because intercession had been made for Joshua the priest in that time. Hallelujah. Amen. So Satan is looking to bring a judgment against us, but we've got an advocate. In fact, there's a legal team, hallelujah, that we've got on our side. The Bible says in 1 John 2, John says, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So we've got a legal team of Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit incorporated. What is it, LLC? I don't know what the... What attorneys? What are the letters you put behind attorneys? JD, okay. All right. We got JC and HSJD. Okay. All right. Amen. So he's our advocate. He's an expert in the law. And he's never lost a case. The Holy Spirit has never lost a case. And he's in your corner. Amen. So call 1-800-HOLY-GHOST. Amen. Hallelujah. And get the settlement you deserve. Amen. He's bigger than Morgan and Morgan, I'm telling you. Bigger than John Foy. Hallelujah. Amen. He's never lost a case. Number six, he's our strengthener. He's our strengthener. He's our comforter. He's our counselor, our helper, our intercessor, our advocate. He's our strengthener. I love the phrase, and I've been taught from it on Wednesdays for a few weeks. In Hebrews 11, it says, through faith, out of weakness we're made strong. I love that phrase in that verse. Out of weakness we're made strong. Glory to God. Well, we got to strengthen her. Hallelujah. When you're weak, when it seems like you don't have the power, when it seems like you look at a situation, you feel powerless to change that, powerless to turn that around. Glory to God. We have the strengthener on the inside. That comforter, that helper, the Holy Spirit, He's also a strengthener. Amen. He comes alongside to strengthen us. To strengthen us. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have what? Have overcome them. Because He who is in you, that's the Holy Spirit, is what?
Greater.
Greater. Everybody say, the greater one lives in me. The greater one is strengthening me. That's why Paul could say in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. You can't separate them. Christ said, well, that's talking about Jesus. Well, it's talking about the Holy Spirit too. Because Christ, literally Christ means anointed one, right? The anointed one, all right? And God anointed, Acts 10:38, Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. He's my strengthener. The Holy Spirit is my strengthener. And then this last one. He's our, let's go back to John 14 again, Trinity. John 14. He's our helper, our intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. Standby. Glory to God. Some of you may have a generator. Probably have a generator. What's that for? Do you just decide you're gonna run your generator whenever you want? Hey, it feels like a generator kind of day today, dear. Let's pull the cord. Let's crank the generator up. Let's run our refrigerator and air conditioner with the generator today. Do you do that? No. You do it in an emergency, right? And what is it? It's standby power, right? A generator. Now they make these things that they just wire them right into your panel, and the thing kicks in. You know, that's several thousand dollars, I think. But it's standby power in case the power goes out. In the event of an emergency, you've got standby power. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we have a standby. We have a standby. And when everything's going along normally, we don't necessarily need that standby. Now, we need the Holy Spirit all the time. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we should only rely on the Holy Spirit in case of an emergency. Like somebody said, you know, we need to pray about this situation. And then the guy he's talking to said, oh, you mean it's come to that? It's like, oh, wow, it must be dire. It must really be an emergency that has come to prayer. We should pray first. We should rely on the Holy Spirit first and daily and consistently. Amen. But in times of emergency, we've got to stand by. And glory to God, you think, oh, no, what am I going to do? Oh, wait a minute. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry. I've got standby power I can tap into now. Hallelujah. Amen. And boom, that generator cranks up. And glory to God, the devil thought you were going down and thought he had you defeated. And whoo, the lights are still on. The refrigerator is still cold. Hallelujah. And we can still watch TV. Amen. Hallelujah. In an event of an emergency, we've got standby power. Standby power. Hallelujah. Those believers were walking in they had peace, the Bible says, and they were edified, and they were walking in the fear of the Lord. Again, we talked all about that last week. And they were also walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, they were multiplied. As a result, the people they were living around that were not believers looked at their lives and they said, whoo, you've got something that we want. You've got something that we need. It seems like nothing phases you. It seems like nothing gets you down. We know you have problems. We know you face difficulties, but it seems like you just rise above them. It seems like you just go through them and you come out smelling like a rose. And you come out, you know, still happy and still joyful. Hallelujah. They were walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, they were multiplied. As a result, those people said, will you tell us what you have? And they said, sure, you can have it too. Hallelujah. You can call on the name of Jesus and you can be saved. And why don't we do that right now? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? You're in here today and you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus Lord of my life. I want to receive Him and I want to make Him Lord of my life. I'm not sure. I mean, I think I know pretty much everybody in here, but I never want to let this opportunity pass. And also, we have people watching us on YouTube. And you may be logging on for the first time today to our streaming service. And maybe you've never asked Jesus in your heart. I want to give you an opportunity. By raising your hand, you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Anyone in here in the auditorium at City on a Hill, you'd say, yes, that's me. I need to do that. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Praise God. All right, I want to address the online family for just a moment here. If y'all would just stay in an attitude of prayer with me. You're joining us online. You've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Today, right now, this moment, you can invite Jesus. And you don't have to come to our church. We want you to. You should go to church once you accept Jesus, because that's where you're going to get planted and established, and where you can put down your spiritual root system and where you can grow. But you don't have to do all of that to invite Jesus into your heart. You just have to say yes to Him. And I want to lead you in a prayer where you can do that right now, where you can say, yes, Jesus, I need You. I know that I need a Savior. I know that I've sinned, and I want a way out. I want a way out of the life that I've been living. I want a way back to God. You can come home to Him today. Jesus, we talked about this in communion before we came on live. In communion, it says that Jesus, in 1 Peter 3, was our scripture in communion. 1 Peter 3:18, that Christ died once and for all for our sins. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us safely home to God. Jesus did that for you. And I want to pray for you right now. And I want to lead you in a prayer where you can receive Jesus. And I want to ask all of you in the congregation here at City on a Hill today to pray it with me as well. So just pray this prayer after. Put your hand on your heart if you would, and pray this prayer after me. And just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I do believe that You died for my sins. I need a Savior. I need a way out of my sin and a way back to God. So, Lord Jesus, I'm calling on You. I'm trusting in You and what You did on the cross to die for me, to take my place, to suffer for my sins. And I believe that You were raised from the dead. You're alive today. And You have the power to save me. Jesus, come into my heart. I say, You are the Lord of my life. I give You my life. I trust in You. Thank You for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I really want you to contact us here at City on a Hill Church and let us hear from you. We'd like to continue to encourage you and help you grow in your new faith in Jesus. Praise God.